on our agenda today. Thank you again so much for joining us for the Chairman's Corner. And I understand you wanted to talk about opioids.
Yeah, I thought we'd give you an update on, our progress to date.
Fabulous.
We try to let the public know every so often, what we're up to in terms of combating this insidious epidemic.
Right.
In our communities, and we're trying to eliminate it totally through a public-private partnership, which now I'm happy to say includes partnering with Greene County.
Oh, fabulous. So that kind of goes to the shared services topic that we were talking about last time.
Yep.
So what's going on?
I just wanted to give you a few facts and figures.
Okay.
The extent of the problem and then what we're doing in Columbia County. And I'm going to quote Michael Cole, our director of health and human services, or human services and mental health. The American lifespan has decreased due to the deaths from opioids, and 68% of jail inmates have a substance abuse disorder. 78 United States citizens die each day from opioids. In addition, in 2016, there were 13 opioid deaths in Columbia County. And since 2010, there's been a threefold increase in U.S. heroin-related deaths. So, I mean, those are some pretty shocking statistics.
They really are. That's very scary.
When you go through it. So I'd like to just at least talk a little bit about what we're doing in Columbia County to address this issue. And I'm going to read this only because we're doing quite a bit and I don't want to miss anything.
Okay, fabulous.
We have an expansion of the medication-assisted treatment capacity for prescription medication to assist those impacted by substance use disorder, to assist them in reducing and eliminating the opioid use. We have expansion of the substance use disorder treatment and recovery supports in our local jail and post-release support. Given that 85% of our incarcerated population is impacted by substance use disorder, we're providing advocacy for local ambulatory detoxification and regional residential detoxification options. Use of the Twin County Recovery Services Greener Pathways Project, which offers non-traditional mobile supports and for those needing help. Expansion of Narcan training and kit distribution. Narcan is an easy-to-use medication to reverse opioid overdoses. Use of the HIPTA OD map real-time software by all Columbia County first responders and local law enforcement personnel.
Uh-huh.
ODMAP provides real-time suspected overdose surveillance data across jurisdictions to support public safety and public health efforts to mobilize an immediate response to the sudden increase in opioid overdoses. Use of certified peer recovery advocates in the Columbia Memorial Hospital Emergency Department, providing hospital staff with solutions to the challenges they face caring for individuals in an addiction crisis. Creation of a Columbia Green Addiction Coalition website with up-to-date substance use disorder prevention treatment and recovery resources for professionals and non-professionals. And wide distribution of printed educational and addiction treatment service materials, billboards, postings, radio spots, and the like. So there's quite a bit that's been going on in Columbia and Greene County now, which I thought the public should know about.
Definitely.
And I'm happy to say that Columbia and Greene County jointly hired a full-time addiction recovery coordinator. Her name is Danielle Hotelling.
Oh.
She works for Twin County
okay.
Recovery Services, but her salary is paid for by the Columbia County Board of Supervisors and the Greene County Legislature.
Oh, very nice. So did she start yet?
Oh, yeah. She started quite a while ago. And some of those bullets I just read to you are a result of her efforts.
Very good. Now, does Columbia County still have Keith? Do we still have Keith? Do we still have Keith? Keith Stack?
I'm sorry, Holly. I couldn't hear that.
Do we still have Keith Stack? I should text you.
Oh, yes, we do.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Keith is still working as a consultant for the County Board of Supervisors on this issue.
Okay, all right. And,
I mean, he's been very, very valuable in advising us.
So we have a lot of resources. I think since the last time, well, there was the panel. Do you think there's any more plans to do any more informational panels?
I think there will be down the line. I think, you know, we wanted to sort of implement some of these programs, and I think we're starting the process of reporting on them. Actually, you'll probably read an article in the paper on Thursday, similar to what I just talked about, from me in my written chairman's corner.
Okay.
Talking about our progress with the opioid epidemic.
Right.
And, you know, I just wanted to say, too, that there is a lot of stakeholders who are committed to this issue, including Columbia Memorial Health, mental health and substance abuse use disorder prevention and treatment providers, state and local law enforcement, EMS, 911, pharmacists, local and county courts, public mental hygiene, Columbia County Department of Social Services, the Columbia County Sheriff's Department, the District Attorney's Office, Probation Department, and the Columbia County Health Department are all valuable partners, as well as a lot of community-based organizations.
Right.
Who are working on this issue.
Well, it's such an important topic, and I know Columbia County has seen its fair share of tragic, unfortunate overdoses that sometimes lead to the person passing on. So it's really very sad because it impacts so many people. And really, I don't think, you know, they don't have the intentions of killing themselves, but with the dangerous drugs that are out there and the fentanyl and all of that, it's really unintentional and a sad consequence of perhaps someone just, trying to cure their illness and it goes south. So that's really important. I'm glad that the county has taken measures. So the hospital thing, can you talk a little bit more about that? I know that was one of the issues that actually came out of the forum, was that people would be admitted for an overdose, and then they would be essentially treated and released.
Yep. There are, like I said, through our county health department, we have put and trained certified peer recovery advocates in the hospital to work within the emergency department with medical personnel, providing the staff with solutions and challenges, that they face with individuals with addiction crisis. It's sort of a person that can tell them what to look for, also work with the patient who's there. So it's been, from what I've heard, it's been a very big success, and where we're actually training more advocates.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear. Now, I read something about there was a settlement actually in another part of the country.
Yeah, there was a $250 million settlement by one of the big pharma companies with the state. I'm not sure if it was Mississippi or Minnesota. It was one of those M states.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a huge settlement regarding a company or a pharma company that produced OxyContin.
Wow. And is Columbia County or is New York State part of a?
We're part of a nationwide lawsuit. We've joined on, mm-hmm. as well as many other counties
in New York State yep.
have joined on, again, in suing Big Pharma because of the issues related to OxyContin and hydrocodone and so on.
Right, right. That is a lot of times where the addiction starts, is actually pain medication.
Yep.
I know there's a stigma or a misnomer, but it's not all people just looking to party. It can stem from real issues that people face as they try to go about their daily lives, like back pain or an injury or something that, is causing you pain, and you get a prescription for some pills, and next thing you know, you can't stop. So that's really yep. sad. So that's glad to hear. I take it there's no movement on the national lawsuit, though.
I haven't heard anything
yeah.
at this point, but
I have to imagine that's
still active, and
that's
more,
probably quite the
more
lawsuit.
Municipalities joining on.
Wow. Yeah. I actually read something else today, too, Chairman, that maybe you want to think about is including veterinarians in this issue, because mm-hmm. I read online that sometimes now pets are being, injured so that they can get the medicine for the injured pet, and then it's not used for the injured pet, they're taking it. So raise awareness among veterinarians as well that that might be an issue, especially repeat.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, that was the first I had heard it as well. I don't know if there's truth to it, but, you know, something worth taking up with our veterinarian community. So crazy things here, Chairman.
Yep. So.
Well, that's very good news to hear about all of the activity in regards to this issue. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring us up to speed with today?
No, I think everything, you know, we're moving along.
Okay, very good. Any insights on the budget process up in Albany that's going on? Any more movement on the AIM funding? Or
I hadn't heard much. I still think that the Senate and the Assembly and the Governor's Office are trying to come to agreement on some of the local aid, like the AIM funding.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't. I haven't heard anything lately. I did hear that the Senate and the Assembly were more inclined to support, you know, counties and towns than they were supporting the governor's proposal. But I haven't heard what the final outcome is yet on that yet. I do know the Association of Counties has strongly come out supporting that, you know, they restore the state aid and not take the funding away from counties.
Right, right. I know they're right in the thick of it with the budget process right now. I was talking with the senator earlier, and
I'd be surprised if they have an on-time budget this time.
Yeah, actually,
they've been
doing
pretty well lately, but it doesn't seem like they're that close.
Right,
but
no.
I may be wrong.
Well, it could happen. I mean, what, April 1st is Monday?
Mm-hmm.
So you never know. It could happen. It could happen. Well, we won't hold our breath, but you never know. Well, hopefully that funding gets restored and we can go from there. But, well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for your time.
All right.
And
we
will talk to you again next time right here on Talk with Tanner or Holler at Holly.
you take care.
All right. Take care, Chairman. Bye.
Bye now.
Okay, so that was Chairman of the Board, Matt Morrell, who, of course, spoke to us about what the county is doing, and that's good to hear that we're doing some shared services with Greene County in order to help combat this issue and provide education and treatment and help people break this horrible addiction that impacts so many of us. So we are going to take a musical interlude here while I get our next guest in, and that would be one Julie Ulmer from Minding Your Manor, and she's going to talk to us about spring cleaning and getting rid of clutter and reorganizing some other things that are going on in the cleaning industry. This is Holly Tanner, your host of Talk with Tanner here on 90.7 FM or online WGXC.org, live local radio, radio for open ears. So thank you for listening, and we will be back.
We're going to talk to Amy Rigby in a minute. This is her Tom Petty karaoke.
I'm kind of empty tonight. Nothing feels right. Nothing feels right. I'm going out on my own. Can't stay home. No, I can't stay home. When I'm holding the microphone, it's like I'm holding on to something that's gone. When I sing, I want back down. I don't feel down. Yeah, I'm all world. can't we all just get along, American girl? Take me out of this world. American girl, take me out of this world. American girl, take me out of this world.
Is Amy Rigby's Tom Petty Karaoke on the WGXC morning show, and Amy Rigby is now sitting here with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back from Central America.
Thank you.
You were just playing, and you played in England a couple weeks ago, and didn't you?
I toured over there at the end of 2018. And then I played in Hudson at Spotty Dog and down in the city at the Mercury Lounge, and then I went to play this guitar festival in Mexico in Zihuatanejo, and then I ended up in Guatemala, and now I'm back and got some more gigs coming up.
Sunday you're going to be in Woodstock at the Colony Cafe?
The Colony Cafe, yes.
Have you played there before?
I never have. I actually did play there with Reckless Eric. I was in his band for a show he did there about like a year and a half ago. And I've been to see a bunch of shows there. It's a super nice room. And so looking forward to... I have never played Woodstock before, except for, you know, being in Eric's band. I've never done my own gig in Woodstock, New York, so kind of excited to do that.
You're not playing the Woodstock 50 concert or whatever?
I haven't been invited, but, you know, maybe I'll like sell sandwiches there or something. I don't know.
I don't know. Is Blink-182
playing?
I'll
get a vendor's I'm going to get a vendor's booth going, you know, like come up with some item to sell at the...
So are you playing new songs or mostly the old guys' songs or the historic career-spanning?
Yeah, at the Woodstock show, doing a lot of the songs from the old guys, a couple new ones like Tom Petty Karaoke, The President Can't Read, of course, and maybe one that I wrote when I was down at the beach in Mexico. Finally, you know, I always envisioned I could kind of maybe be the female Jimmy Buffett if I completely
You've
changed.
Got your Jimmy Buffett song?
If I changed my style and you know, just kind of like wore sandals on stage and stuff. And yeah, it kind of flowed out of me. So I'll probably play that one.
Is that your new thing? Like you're doing like these different genres. You did the protest song and the kind of tribute song, and now you're going to do the Jimmy... I don't know if the Jimmy Buffett is a category or just a...
that laid-back, beachy song. Only if it came to me authentically. I would not do it, you know, to, like, cash in, because I doubt that that would.
Is there much of a Jimmy Buffett market anymore? I don't know if he is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know. Like, I was driving in a rental car, and it had Sirius XM satellite.
He has a station.
And he has a station. Yeah, yeah. And for some reason, I just became addicted to that station. It, you know, it played, like, deep cuts of Jimmy Buffett, like, live stuff. He's actually, like, really good. And great live things, and then sort of whatever the algorithm suggested, like a lot of Bob Marley, some, you know, some Emmylou Harris. I think it was all like based on a beats per minute type of thing. So it, if you're driving in like intense traffic, it was very soothing and just kind of kept me calm.
I think he's in the new Harmony Korine movie that opens
Really?
Friday with Matthew McConaughey and Jimmy Buffett.
Wow, so you know a lot more about him than I
think
do.
It's called, yeah. Well, I just read about the movie, so I was. But anyway, was it difficult to write The President Can't Read? It seems like I don't know if it would be tougher. Is it tough to write a song about? I don't know. What do you?
Well, I will say this: I wrote it right after the inauguration. So that was 2 years ago, and I think then the sort of the outrage and the, you know, the anger was fresh and motivating, and now it feels like so numb, and so I think that I didn't really set out to write it; it just came out, but. Now it would be harder because I think you'd sit down and kind of it just would be all these feelings like tumbling together and again, like I said, like I can't really ever contrive to write a song, and like, you know, people will say, like, if you make a comment about something in day-to-day life, people will often say like, oh, that sounds like a great song title or song idea, and a lot of times it will, but I have to just, like, write it down. And then maybe at some point it'll just start bubbling up as a song. But, like, I lived in Nashville for a while, and often people will write to a title there. And I found that to be really kind of hard because the fun and the sort of the discovery of songwriting is not, like, what the title is, but what you get to as you're writing. The title usually happens like with it. I didn't start out like that it was going to be The President Can't Read. That was just the conclusion I reached by the time I got to the end of the first verse.
Yeah, how did you get to the title? I was going to ask how you got to the title, because he can obviously read a teleprompter, but the story is like about his not reading his daily briefings hadn't even come out yet, I guess,
right,
when you're talking about
Now
I think, you know, now it seems that has that layer of a meaning that he doesn't read his daily briefings.
There must have been something. There must have already been. It was February when I wrote this.
It says
song,
it in the song, yeah.
As I said. So there, I think there must have been some news story that he didn't read the briefings. And so I had that in my mind, and then that was kind of the conclusion I reached by the end of the first verse, and so then I wanted to, yeah, like, call out all these people who could maybe help him get more more informed.
And did the Tom Petty song come out of this? Was it anger? Because, I mean, he was basically kind of murdered by the pharmaceutical industry, you know, him and
That's
Prince.
That's interesting. I mean, it was really more like sadness, poignancy. I had maybe, like, wished I could write a song for him, and I hadn't really been able to do that without it would have been super corny. But then I saw Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr., like, this video went all around, made the rounds of him singing a Tom Petty song in a very lonely karaoke bar in Provincetown, and it was just like him and like a guy sitting at a table, and then a drag queen like walks up on stage, but it's like super, it was very low key. And
what song was it?
I think it was Don't Do Me Like That. It was either that or I Won't Back Down. Now I think it was I Won't Back Down. And it was just really, like, so personal that just inspired me to write a song about a person who's going to a karaoke bar to sing all the Tom Petty songs. And I found it, it's funny because it reaches a point in that song, and I always get really choked up where I say, about, like, free fallin', I hear him callin', why can't we all just get along? And I felt like he was kind of, like, there, you know, like, hovering over us, just kind of going, like, come on, man. I don't know. I something about that line made it feel like more than just Tom Petty. Just the way that music can unite people and kind of help us put our differences aside. And
he is kind of one of those, there's not too many, I mean, you can complain about too much Tom Petty on the radio or whatever, but there's not too many people that don't like Tom Petty.
It's true. Maybe at first I even kind of resisted him because of that. And like, you used to go to a Tom Petty concert, not anymore, but you would go and like everybody would be singing every word except for the very like deep cut.
That was Catskill's Amy Rigby with The President Can't Read, a 2019 release.
This is Robert Bickers with the Go-Betweens, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WD.